Welcome to Torati Mecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we are studying Perek Tet Zion of Melachim Bet. Today we will focus on Achaz, king of Yehuda and son of Yotam. Achaz breaks the pattern in Melachim Bet, where the kings had been doing what was Yashar Be'inei Hashem, at least according to Melachim Bet, before looking at Divrei Hayamim Bet. Here we are told regarding Achaz, in Pasuk Bet, V'lo asa hayashar be'inei Hashem. He did not do what was right in the eyes of Hashem. Pasuk Gimel continues, Vayelech b'derach malchei Yisrael. He went in the way of the kings of Israel. From the onset, he's involved in idolatrous practices, including sacrificing on Bamot and engaging in Molech, which was passing a child between two fires, a practice of human sacrifice in a place called Geben Hinom, according to Divrei Hayamim, the valley right outside the old city walls. The Gemara tells that he tried to kill his son Chizkiyahu, future king, through this ritual, but his mother saved him. In Divrei Hayamim, the pasuk seems to imply that he performed this ritual on multiple sons. Vayavar et banav ba'esh. So it's possible he killed one, and Chizkiyahu was another son who was actually saved. What made Achaz turn away from the practices of his family? It may have been a gradual process for him. He was not as strong religiously as his father Yotam, and he began charting his own path and sought to prove himself and make his mark in a different way, since he knew he could not measure up to those who came before him. It did not take too long for him to end up on the opposite extreme and became very public about his idolatrous practices. Achaz is confronted by a troublesome alliance between the kingdoms of Yisrael and Aram, with Ritzin, the king of Aram, and Pekach ben Remaliah, the king of Yisrael, who was mentioned in last perek. They band together to ward off the king of Ashur, and Achaz does not join forces with them. Both Yisrael and Aram respond separately against Yehuda, and then in Pasuk Hey, as an alliance together, they form a siege around Yerushalayim, and many people are killed, although they are not ultimately successful in their attack on Yerushalayim. In Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Kafchet, the toll of the civil war on Yehuda is described. Hundreds of thousands of people are taken captive under the direction of Pekach. A Navi named Oded then speaks to Malchut Yisrael and berates them to return the captives and not anger Hashem. He tells them the only reason they achieved any success over Yehuda is because Hashem was angry with the kingdom of Yehuda. The captives are then returned to the city of Yericho. Achaz's actions are very telling. During his time of crisis, instead of crying out to Hashem and engaging with the Navi, he seeks temporary relief in Pasuk Zion in forming an alliance of his own with Ashur, which is very short-sighted. In Pasuk Chet, Achaz offers gold and silver from the Beit HaMikdash treasury to Tiglat Pileser, king of Ashur, and he brings down Ritzin and captures Damascus. In Yeshayahu, Perek Zion, this story is included, and a conversation between Yeshayahu and Achaz is recorded. The Perek in Yeshayahu starts with the word Vayihi, which is always a code word for a troublesome time. Achaz is visibly shaken from the siege of Yerushalayim. In Pasuk Bet, it says, Vayana levavo ulevavamo kinoa atse ya'ar mipnei ruach. Both his heart and the heart of his people shook like trees in the forest from a strong wind. Yeshayahu tells Achaz and compares Ritzin and Pekach to two burnt ends of a stick that are almost extinguished and will not be able to harm him. Shnei znavot ha'udim ha'ashenim ka'ele. They make a great deal of smoke, but they are not as threatening as they may appear. Yeshayahu's message to Achaz was that Aram and Yisrael do not have strong leadership, and they will be eliminated on their own when they are inevitably overpowered by Ashur. Yeshayahu warns Achaz that the alliance with Ashur that he is forming is going to end in disaster. Yeshayahu encourages Achaz to put his trust in Hashem and not in humans. There was no need for Achaz to take action on his own. In fact, that is what happened. Aram was exiled to Ashur, as were the Galil and eastern side of the Yarden for Malchut Yisrael. Yeshayahu continues and tells Ahaz to ask Hashem for a sign to signify that Hashem's words will come true. In Yeshayahu, Perek Zion, Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says, Sha'alecha ot mi'im Hashem Elokecha, ask for a sign from Hashem your God. However, Ahaz is not interested. At first glance, he sounds so frum. Lo eshal v'lo enasa et Hashem. He does not need to question or test Hashem. But in truth, Hashem is just not on his radar, and this is not the path he wishes to go down. He does not want Hashem to perform any miraculous signs to sway the people and mess with the alliance he is trying to form with Ashur. He is not willing to hear that inviting Ashur in now is going to be problematic later on. In general, this seems to be Ahaz's MO. While Ahaz is not personally observant, he is not forceful in influencing others directly. He did not go around messing with the leadership and killing Nevi'ei Hashem, or setting fire to parts of the Beit HaMikdash, or acting with cruelty. He does nothing outright, yet influenced all the same indirectly, as leaders do. Instead of commanding the people of Yehuda to serve Avodah Zarah, he just builds a new Mizbeach. He tries to influence and impact the masses in these indirect yet influential ways as he embraces a foreign culture that he deems to be superior. Back to Malachim Bet. In Pasuk Yud, after Ahaz visits Damesek, he is enamored by the Mizbeach he sees there and orders Uriah the Kohen to have one built just like it in the Beit HaMikdash courtyard. He is committed to adopting Assyrian culture. This newly fashioned, idolatrous Mizbeach is placed in a strategic location in the courtyard, and Ahaz instructs Uriah the Kohen in Pasuk Tetvav to use it exclusively for the daily sacrifices. Uriah was a Kohen he could influence and was open to his new modes of worship. He's identified as the son of Azariah the Kohen, the one who had tried to stop Uzziah from his ketoretz in the Mikdash. Azariah himself never would have allowed this to happen and does not reappear as Kohen until the time of Chizkiyahu. Ahaz himself also offers sacrifices on his new altar in Pasuk Yud Bet, as was the custom for Assyrian kings to act as priests. According to Pasuk Yud Dalet, Ahaz moves the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. Some explain this to be that he moves his new Mizbeach into a prime location in the courtyard and pushes aside the regular one. While this seems plausible and in line with his vision for the Beit HaMikdash, there is a difficulty in the Pasuk in that it is referring to a copper altar. The courtyard Mizbeach built by Shlomo was made of stones and not copper. The one Moshe made in the Mishkan was of copper, but that one was hidden away. What Mizbeach is this Pasuk referring to? Rashi indicates that this is actually a reference to the Kior, the wash basin that was made of copper and stood in the courtyard, and not actually the Mizbeach. It was now in the way from accessing the new Mizbeach from the Beit HaMikdash building itself, so Ahaz moved it to the northern side of the courtyard. In addition, he made structural changes to the Kior by removing the stands and insets by the different faucets. It does not seem like these were removed to offer as a bribe to the king of Ashur, since these were only made of copper and not as valuable as gold or silver, which is what leads commentators like the Radak to say that Ahaz was just vandalizing these vessels. It seems like the parts he cut off had animals fashioned on them, oxen and lions, as well as kruvim, images that are part of those seen in the Ma'aseh Merkava visions of Hashem's throne. According to this explanation, we can say that Ahaz is messing with Hashem himself and the way Hashem is physically portrayed and represented in the Mikdash. Ahaz sought to make Assyrian culture exciting and the service of Hashem outdated and irrelevant. There are also those who posit that he did take these measures as protection from possible future attacks from Ashur. He also changed the points of entry into the Beit HaMikdash too for that reason. He wanted to make sure he had a way to conceal and protect himself as he traveled between his palace and the Beit HaMikdash. According to Divrei Hayamim, Ahaz seized much of the daily service in the Mikdash and closed the doors to the Mikdash. The rabbis say his name Ahaz alludes to this, that he grabbed onto the doors of the Mikdash and closed them. Even during these tumultuous times, he does not turn to Hashem, and instead sets up alternate places of worship. His actions demonstrate that he would rather sacrifice to the gods of Aram and Ashur, since after all, they are the ones who helped those nations be successful. So they must be the most powerful. In Perek Chet of Yeshayahu, Yeshayahu warns Ahaz about Ashur's true intentions. He says, Hinei Hashem ma'ale alehem et mei hanar ha'atsumim v'harabim et melech Ashur v'et kol kvodo v'ala al kol afikav v'halach al kol gidotav v'chalaf b'Yehuda shataf v'avar ad tzavar yagia. Ashur, being referenced metaphorically as the Nahar, the Euphrates River, in the future is going to overflow and manifest itself as a destructive flash flood in the land of Yehuda, with waters that will reach up to Yehuda's neck. It is not going to end well. The promises Yeshayahu makes about trusting in Hashem in the same perek will not be witnessed by Ahaz himself, but will come to fruition during Chizkiyahu's time instead. The legacy of Ahaz is one of active personal rebellion against the ways of the Torah. Gemara Sanhedrin on 103b lists Ahaz among some of the most notorious figures in Tanakh and mentions many of his iniquities, including but not limited to placing an idol in the upper chamber of the Beit HaMikdash, nullifying the service of the Beit HaMikdash, forbidding Torah study, and allowing marriages between forbidden relatives. Perhaps the most positive contribution of Ahaz is his son Chizkiyahu, who is a Melech Tzadik despite the home he grew up in, and will be the subject of the upcoming Prakim. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.